helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. When you hear about organized crime, what comes to mind? An image of a crime boss being hauled off into court? Maybe a scene from The Godfather, Goodfellas, or Scarface? How about the halls of Congress, the Oval Office, or the Supreme Court? Because if you're looking for it, there's no criminal organization nearly the size of the federal government. Hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution. Teach the rising generation be free. I'm glad you could join me today. You know, I've heard a lot of people refer to federal crimes and incendiary statements about the government being criminal. What I want to look at today is literally the understanding of organized crime, and then looking how the federal government is organized as a criminal syndicate, how it gains its power through its criminal activities, and how we can, once you look behind the curtain, once you look at the Wizard of Oz and you see the great and powerful Oz, once you look behind the curtain, there's nothing really there. Just some strange dude pulling levers and turning knobs, trying to pretend to be the great and powerful Oz. Now, what I'm looking at actually is a study done by Raquel Alexander and Susan Schultz. They were trying to look at the effectiveness of lobbying in Congress. Why do corporations and groups spend millions and millions of dollars on congressional lobbyists? They said they had a problem. They said it was a very messy and secretive system. But they found a bill that they could, well, it was so simple, they said they could track the return on the lobbying investments. So back in 2004, we had the American Jobs Creation Act. It actually, according to them, benefited hundreds of multinational corporations with giant one-time tax breaks. Now, without the law, any repatriated funds, in other words, if a company made profits overseas and they brought them back to the U.S., they had to pay a tax rate of 35%. Under this law, that rate dropped to 5%. And yes, it saved companies billions and billions of dollars. So Ms. Alexander and Schultz, they decided to calculate just how much money these corporations saved based on the lower tax rate. And then they compared that to the amount of money firms spent lobbying for the law. What their research showed them, well, hold on, I hope you're sitting down, maybe holding on real tight, but they found that the ROI, the return on investment for the lobbying money spent by these multinational corporations was 22,000%. Yes, 22,000%. They, for every dollar they spent in lobbying, they saved $220 in tax benefits. Now, all right, not every lobbying effort for a specific bill is going to have that kind of return. In fact, some may even lose money. But think about that. Your representatives in Congress voted for a bill because they were lobbied and they were encouraged. And I know a lot of people, you see the companies, the giant corporations, they control Congress. Well, they do have a lot of influence in Congress, as this report would seem to suggest. By the way, I put a link to the report in the show notes when they post in a couple of days, so you can check it out for yourself. But there's also a lot of situations where the government controls companies, like when Biden, in a press conference, said he was going to sign an executive order requiring businesses with 100 employees or more to implement a vaccine mandate. And before he even signed anything, companies were jumping to put in place vaccine mandates. But what I want you to see is tell me this is, how close is this to bribery? So when they lobby, when corporations lobby representatives, members in Congress, what are they offering for doing that? In other words, they show up and say, hey, you know, my people would really like this. Why do the members of Congress care? Well, it seems to me they care because these companies are either going to contribute to their campaigns or, you know, maybe they're going to do something to help bring in voters. Members of Congress aren't doing this to the, aren't making these bills that benefit corporations out of the kindness of their heart. They're getting something for it. In other words, they're more interested. They are bought and paid for by lobbyists, and they really don't care so much about the people they claim to represent. They're more interested in the lobby. But you see, that's only one side of the coin. This is people with money influencing legislation. And by the way, it's not just corporations, right? We've seen Zuckerberg do it. We've seen Elon Musk do it. We've seen, you know, what's his name from Twitter. We see a lot of situations where influential people, usually people with lots of money, go before Congress and spout their point of view. Oh, by the way, you don't even have to be, you don't have to be all that rich. You just have to be famous. I mean, let's face it. When celebrities speak before Congress, they get a lot of sway. Not because they know anything. They're good at playing make-believe on TV. And whether that be a Mike Rowe or, you know, somebody that plays a doctor on TV supporting the Affordable Care Act, they're influencing others, which means that the these congressmen and women are bought and paid for. They are effectively accepting bribes. Support this legislation and we'll donate to your campaigns, or we'll, if there's anything involved, any return for their vote, that is by definition a bribe. From the Free Legal Dictionary, a bribe is the gift or promise which is accepted of some advantage as the inducement for some legal or act or omission of some illegal emolument or as a consideration or preferring one person to another in the performance of a legal act. In other words, when something is offered and accepted to change your mind, to do something, it's a bribe. So I like the way Noah Webster put it in his 1828 dictionary. A bribe is a price, reward, gift, or favor bestowed or promised with a view to pervert the judgment or corrupt the conduct of a judge, witness, or other person. Well, okay, we're not dealing with judges and witnesses, but what we are dealing with is our representatives, our public servants. And doesn't this just sound like a scene from a movie? Maybe the TV series Sopranos. Hey, you give us some money, and you know, we'll pay it back with some very nice rules and laws. And then again, if you don't give us the rules and laws you want, well, who knows? We may just fund your opponent. And what's interesting is these are the same congressmen and women who then turn around and say, oh, see, we have to have this law because we're going to bring American money back. And, oh, yeah, by the way, we're going to give most of the taxes away to the very people that asked for it. Doesn't that sound like, if not an outright bribe, does sound like the way the mob works, right? If you're really upset, be really sad if something happened to that corporation working on it. The taxes just kind of went crazy, doesn't it? And this is just the beginning. This is just, ladies and gentlemen, not even the tip of the iceberg. For example, in March, late March, the Government Accountability Office released a report in which they stated for fiscal year 2023, 14 agencies report a total estimated $236 billion in improper payments across 71 programs. Now, these are simply payments that should not have been made or were made for an incorrect amount. You know, someone who got a check that shouldn't have got a check, or someone who got a check that was larger than what they should have gotten. And again, that's $236 billion. a quarter of $1 trillion. It sounds like a huge amount of money because it is. Then again, it's still barely a rounding error on the federal budget. But these are scenarios where I'm not saying these are necessarily a criminal in the standpoint of a bribe, but it certainly does show fiscal mismanagement. Now, the question is, what's being done about it? From what I've seen so far, absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing has been done about the spending of money, the loss of money, because in 1 year, simply because the government is so enormous, everyone points a finger somewhere else. But that's there are plenty of examples. So let's see, Joe Biden's at it again. Do you remember when, as a campaign promise, Joe Biden said he was going to forgive student loans? Yeah, he was going to steal from the American people to pay off the a constituency of his, young college students or recent college graduates. That's embezzlement, right? Because the Constitution does not authorize the federal government to issue loans, much less to forgive loans, to take money that's owed to the federal government and simply ignore it because, you know, for political reasons. So, but of course, Biden said, nope, we're going to forgive the student loans. And he was going to cancel $10,000 for every borrower. And the Supreme Court said, no, you don't have the legal authority to do that. Well, he's at it again. Here's another estimated $144 billion in student debt that he wants to simply write off, pretend it never happened. I'm pretty sure I've seen some gangster movie where the gangster gets a loan and then simply refuses to pay it off. And, that's how he makes his money. But that's the same way with the federal government saying, hey, the American people, we're going to take your money and we're going to loan it out, even though we don't legally have the authority. We're going to commit embezzlement. And then when it's kind of paid off, it's all gone. It all disappeared. All your money is gone. Too bad. So sad. What are you going to do? We're the government. And that seems to be the way of things, right? They're the big, bad government. We get to do what we want because we say so, because we are the big, bad government. And as with so many cases, what they're doing is illegal, but most people are afraid to stand up. Now, they're afraid to stand up because they know as an individual or as a small group, the government's going to come after them. It's why, you know, it's how, we should have all learned this in high school, right? How do you deal with a bully? You stand up to them, not just one. You know, one person stands up to the bully, they're likely to get beat up. They might survive, they might not, but you know what? You get a group of people to stand up to the bully, suddenly the bully starts losing their power. And I think that's the attitude we have to have, right? The federal government's a bully. The federal government's organized crime. It's the mob. And yes, I understand. It is scary to look a mobster in the eye and say no. I understand that. I have no illusions that it's going to be easy and it's going to be painless. But until we start taking power away from the bully, we're going to keep getting bullied. This is as long as we keep not only as we keep feeding this criminal enterprise, we're going to get more crime. But I think it's also important we think about more than just us. I think we need to think about the future, because our children are going to grow up in the world we leave them. They're going to grow up in the country we leave them. They're going to have the rights and privileges we leave them. And we've been doing a pretty poor job at protecting their rights lately. Everything from their right to live without government regulation controlling every aspect of their life to the very idea of their right to live. So you think about all the rights we care about. Freedom of speech, freedom of press. What about your right to life? You know, both the 5th and 14th Amendments protect your right to not be deprived of life without due process of law. You know, we've been doing that for over 50 years. So when it comes to what is precious, life is precious. Every life is precious. Every life deserves protection. With Patriot Mobile, you can make a difference by supporting those who support life. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They offer the best nationwide 4G and 5G coverage on all the networks you're used to dealing with. Their support is 100% U.S.-based and is a pleasure to deal with. So the time is now. So we often talk about voting, but how about you vote with your dollars? Let's stand together and support other companies that share our beliefs. Your cell phone is one way you can stand against the left and those who are trying to destroy what makes the United States great. So join us. Go learn more at patriotmobile.com/constitution to find out more about the plans and services you can get. And be sure to use the code Constitution at checkout to get free activation. Again, that's patriotmobile.com/constitution. And don't forget to use the code Constitution at checkout to get free activation. While you're at it, if you're looking to get a good night's sleep, it's really important. But some of the tools we use, the hormones and others, can actually cause other things to go cattywampus in your body. They mess with your hormone cycles, and they can even mess with your sleep cycle. The wellness company has come up with a formula, though. It's called the Restless Sleep Formula. It uses natural ingredients to calm your mind, to reduce stress, so you can get a better, more restful night's sleep without worrying about hormones or other chemicals. Backed by documented research, vetted by the medical board of the wellness company, Restless Sleep works. I use it when I can't shut down at the end of the day, when my mind just keeps racing, and it works wonderfully. Now, you can get 25% off of products and your first month membership if you use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. So please go to AmericaOutloud.shop, find the ad for the wellness company, find the ad for Restful Sleep, and check it out. But be sure, once you try any of their products, but once you put your cart together, be sure to use that code OUTLOUD at checkout. It reminds them, it lets them know that you listen to America Out Loud, and as a thank you, not only do you get 25% off your products, but you get 25% off your first month membership as well. Again, the code is OUTLOUD. It gets you 25% off products and off your first month of membership at the wellness company.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
In 2008, people could spend an average of 12 seconds on a task without becoming distracted. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds. The digital age is narrowing our attention span. Trouble concentrating or recalling information is frustrating, embarrassing, and kills productivity. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Focus and Recall to boost your brain power. And unlike other supplements that don't work, Focus and Recall is not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients to help you immediately sharpen focus, concentrate longer, and strengthen recall. These physician-formulated gels come in a small gel pack. Tear off the top, shoot it down. Thousands of 5-star reviews proves it works. Supercharge your brain and see the difference. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. And today, well, we're talking about America's largest organized crime syndicate. That's right, the federal government. Now, it's not intended to be that way, and it doesn't have to be that way. The American people have let it be that way. See, when they started violating the law, when they started acting more like a crime syndicate, we didn't say anything. We said, well, okay, it's for a good cause. We let it slide. And then we let it slide again. And then we let it slide again. And then we let men and women pretty much do whatever they want. To the point now where whenever I read something or I hear something about a president issuing these mandates, all I hear is the Godfather.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
Because it's basically how they work, right? We're gonna put out rules and mandates, and they've got the states and the cities so bribed with their tax dollars. You know, well, we'll just, you know, it'd be really sad if something happened to your nice city here. Here, take some money and do as we say. Otherwise, we're going to get you. We're going to make you an offer you can't refuse. And now they don't even hide it. They don't even couch it in the idea of, well, you know, we're trying to help you do something better, so here's some money and just do things our ways. No, they simply order it and mandate it or create new rules. All right, because the Biden administration made up this rule that said, hey, we're going to require states and cities to set climate targets for transportation. Now, let's forget the fact that the Constitution doesn't delegate the United States ability to simply make rules, that they can require states to do anything, much less about climate. This is extortion. It's basically what I expect they would say is, if you don't do this, we're going to cut off money, right? That's you do this, you've got interstate highways, therefore it's interstate commerce, therefore we can do this. They come up with that nonsense. At least for now, a court has decided, you know what? Biden can't do that. You see, several states sued the Biden administration for, they said they didn't have the authority to do this. And, this judge, a James Hendricks, he agreed. But I want you to see the process behind this, right? It starts out with, well, we want you to set climate targets, so we're going to create a rule. You're going to do this because we said so. And of course, since most cities and states are so bribed into compliance, and they're not guiltless, they accepted the bribe. A bribe is guilty. A person who accepts a bribe is just as guilty as the one who offers it. So they accepted the money. Now you have the fist coming down, and yes, several states said no, you can't do that. And right now, a federal judge has said no. How long before that change? Who knows? Because it's not based on the rule of law anymore. It's based on the rule of power. And right now, you have a judge that says, no, you can't do that. What happens when it goes to another judge? So I'm not sure where this judge fits in the overall. I'm assuming he's a district judge. Maybe it goes to the Court of Appeals. Maybe it goes to the Supreme Court. Maybe, once again, Biden just doesn't care. And the court strikes it down. He just goes out and issues a new one. This is the mob way. This is the federal government way. And let's face it, what good is an organized crime syndicate without some enforcement? And if you want to enforce it, well, let's head right over to the Federal Bureau of Intimidation. I mean, investigation. No, actually, I do mean intimidation. You see, the FBI recently posted a video of Director Christopher Wray testifying on March 11th before Congress, and it was highlighting the Bureau's compliance with Section 702. Yeah, that lasted until the people got involved. See, X has this thing called community notes, where people can actually point out the lies being told by people on X. Yeah, and they showed the report showing that at least 278,000 times the FBI has violated Section 702, that they have targeted people from January 6th, BLM, and political donors with these 702 violations. See, there was an order that came down from the FISA court, and it was redacted, but it was released. And under this order, they talk about a report that says the report detailed how the FBI used Section 702 to query or search names of individuals who are suspected of being on the Capitol grounds during January 6th, Black Lives Matter protesters, or victims of crime and their families and donors to one congressional campaign. The court said, due to clear violations of standard procedures on FISA, FBI agents then obtained information on Americans despite it not having any analytical, investigative, or evidentiary purpose. Oops. You see, this is a classic, again, it's a classic mob movie plot, right? Oh, see how I'm helping the community. See how wonderful I am. I'm doing this. I'm helping the poor. I'm helping the widow. Oh, by the way, I'm robbing them blind. I'm intimidating their kids and their family to commit crimes for me. That's what this was. The FBI saying, we don't do anything wrong under 702. Oh, yeah, here's the evidence. But they're still acting as the enforcement arm. They are still acting as these criminal agents. For example, an Oklahoma woman recorded an interaction where the FBI showed up at her door to ask her about her social media posts. That's right. The agents showed up. They were concerned with her social media activity. Now, like I said, she was smart. She did a couple smart things. She recorded the interaction. In a way, we see one agent saying, Facebook gave us a couple of screenshots of your account. Oh, that's interesting. So now we have Facebook acting as the Gestapo. We have them as the informants to that. So she said, so we no longer live in a free country. We can't say what we want. He said, oh, no, we totally do. Says we do this all day long, every day, all day long, just in an effort to keep everyone safe and make sure nobody has any ill will. Yeah, that's called speech police. Now, listen, she refused to speak to them without a lawyer. She refused to let them in her house, and she recorded this. This is great. I love this. But, you're going to have the FBI show up at your door for social media posts? I'd love to see what she said that generated such interest from the FBI. See, to date, the FBI was interested in has not been made known. Now, this lady, and I'm not going to try to pronounce her last name, she is against the Gaza conflict. She's critical of Israel. She supports the Palestinian move, which she has every right to up until she infringes on the rights of somebody else. But just because you support one side or another in a foreign conflict shouldn't warrant a visit from the FBI. And of course, the FBI's record lately is so tarnished. I tend to lean to the side of FBI doing something wrong. Now, I'm not saying everybody in the FBI. I've told the story time and time again of an encounter I had a couple of years ago with two FBI agents. They were professional, they were courteous, and they respected my rights. When I told them that I did not chit chat with law enforcement, they simply said, thank you very much, and left. Those were two, and I don't know their names, right? But they were professionals, and I appreciate that. When you start showing up on my door uninvited, without any purpose other than to investigate something I said, no, you have no right to be here. And I put a link to the video on Twitter so you can watch it for yourself. I think there's one thing I would recommend. This is a personal recommendation, is I would not spend nearly as much time talking to the FBI. Apparently the FBI claims that they identified themselves when they first walked up to the front door. She said, okay, hang on a minute. She went in her house. She came out the back door. She asked them to provide identification when she could actually look at it. They refused to, at which point I would have said, goodbye. Actually, I wouldn't have gone out the back door. I would have, in that situation, I probably would have remained behind my front door and said, show me your credentials. If you don't refuse to be identified and be recorded as being identified, goodbye. Leave my property or I will have you trespassed. And I would have picked up another phone and be ready to call 911 and charge them with trespass. That's my personal position on that, because there's a lot going on here. And if they had probable cause to actually discuss her social media posts with her, they could have gotten a warrant. Now, whether they were just too lazy to it, or she really said nothing wrong and they're just being a little bit intimidating, we'll have to find out. Maybe this comes out, maybe it doesn't. But it is an example of the FBI. So you have Facebook being used, you know, in East Germany, the Stasi were famous for getting people to rat on their neighbors. You saw it in the Soviet Union as well, even in Nazi Germany, where you had, family members would rat on each other, and they were praised for it. And now you have Facebook sending it. We're concerned about this. Okay, if you've got probable cause, and that's the big thing, probable cause. That's the part that bothers me. Now, the other thing we need to look at is being held accountable for your actions. So you may have known that articles of impeachment were approved by the House of Representatives against Secretary Mayorkas from Department of Homeland Security, which means they get sent to the Senate. And I don't know if it's rule or tradition, but the Senate generally drops everything to deal with articles of impeachment. Well, apparently that's not the case. See, Majority Leader Schumer apparently plans to simply table these impeachment articles and just not deal with them. Now, listen, if you have it's political, it's not criminal, but you have articles of impeachment. Think of it this way. There's two ways to look at this. And neither of them, by the way, neither way does this action look good. See, either Secretary Mayorkas has committed bribery, treason, high crime, misdemeanor, and should be removed from office, or he didn't. Very simple. Now, on the one hand, you could look at this and saying, listen, the Senate, they're run by Democrats. He's a Democratic appointee. The odds of him actually being convicted are slim to none, and slim, boy, he's booking it for the door. But you think of it this way. What Mr. Schumer has done, to me, actually further tarnishes the reputation of Secretary Mayorkas. See, if this went to trial in the Senate and he was found not guilty, he could forever walk around and say, I've been found not guilty. The same way Donald Trump, when they always turn around and said, you know, hey, he was impeached. Yes. And every time he impeached me, it was found not guilty. Now, you can believe it's for political reasons or not, but there's a point of character that says, I have been found not guilty. Senate Leader Schumer is basically denying that to Secretary Mayorkas. Now, it could be, I believe most people would assume it would be a political statement. This is a political action. I don't think there'd be many people that are surprised if the Senate were to actually hold a trial and vote against conviction against Mr. Mayorkas. Who knows? Depending on what numbers they get, it could actually be a true vindication of Mr. Mayorkas. Not likely, but again, possible. But this action by Leader Schumer actually denies Mayorkas that. This impeachment hangs over his head without any resolution. Which means, from now on, unless Mr. Schumer changes his mind, from now on, Secretary Mayorkas will be known as the impeached Secretary Mayorkas, without the ability to turn around and say, yes, but I was found not guilty. Now, the other side of this is, if Secretary Mayorkas is guilty of what he said he did, well, then the American people have not only do they get no redress for their grievance, but how are we to hold elected or appointed officials accountable if our elected officials refuse to deal with their alleged malfeasance? See, this, ladies and gentlemen, is not simply a lack of redress of grievance, but this truly is people wonder why nobody trusts the government anymore. Well, here's why. I certainly don't trust a senator. I don't trust a member of the House because of these types of shenanigans. As far as I know, this is the first time in our nation's history that an impeachment is being tabled, and again, by a single person. That tells me there are problems with the rules in the Senate. Now, again, this is not a question of constitutionality. This is a question of the rules of the Senate. But the rules of the Senate are established by the senators we hire to represent our states. This criminal cover-up, possibly involving some form of intimidation, happens because the people we hire are more afraid of the crime boss than they are of the people they're supposed to represent. And I know it is scary to stand up, but if people don't stand up, we end up looking like The Godfather or Goodfellas or Scarface or any of these situations, any of these movies describing organized crime. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, integrity is important. That's why I want to hear both sides of the story. And if you want to hear both sides of the General Flynn story, well, head to constitutionstudy.com/Flynn movie, FLYNNMOVIE. That'll take you to the trailer and other information for the movie, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, where General Flynn tells his side of the story. Watch the trailer, buy tickets for one of the live events. Do it through that link, please. It helps the Flynn movie know that you listen to the Constitution Study, and I really would appreciate that. Speaking of the Constitution Study, have you checked out the Patriots program lately? We're still building it. There's still stuff going on, but it's a great place to go to find out more about the Constitution, and then what do we do about it? The Patriots program is about doing, not simply hearing. So please go to constitutionstudy.com/patriots, find out more. It's invitation only, so if you want to get an invitation, you have to attend the free boot camp, and you have to pass the test. Another great place I'd like you to check out is americaoutloud.news. I go there every day. You should as well. But it's more important than ever that we do more than simply show up at these sites, that we do something. Take a story or a podcast, an article or a video, something that speaks to you, and share it. Share it with friends, share it with family, share it on social media. It's not how many people see it. It's not how often you do it. It is the act of sharing that changes us and helps us all secure the blessings of liberty.
Now, George Washington once encouraged us to animate and encourage each other and show the whole world that a free man contending for liberty on his own ground is superior to any slavish mercenary on earth. That's exactly what we do, as you'll see when you visit AmericaOutloud.news. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of the toxic spike protein. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula to counteract harmful spike protein from COVID-19 and vaccines so you can feel your best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
Who's got time for a nasal invasion messing up your lifestyle? Crush those nasties before they become a problem. For a limited time, when you add the new Cofix RX throat spray to your order with the coupon code OUTLOUD, you'll receive 20% off the entire purchase. go to AmericaOutloud.shop. That's AmericaOutloud.shop and use coupon code OUTLOUD.
Use CofixRx because it works.
Welcome back, Everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study, and today we're talking about America's largest organized crime syndicate, the federal government. And as I said in the opening, the federal government's not designed to be this way. It's designed to actually be less powerful. But we, the people, well, we've pretty much let it run amok. As John Francis Mercer said, it is a great mistake to suppose that the paper we are to propose, the Constitution, that is, will govern the United States. It is the men whom it will bring into government and interest in maintaining it that is to govern them. The paper will only mark out the mode and the form. Men are the substance and must do the business. And that's the problem. We've hired bad men and bad women. So as much as we complain about government bribing the American people, we let them do it. We hired people that bribe us, and then we accepted the bribe. Yes, the federal government bribes the states and the cities, but we hire people that are bribed by it. And we actually complain when they don't accept the bribe. How often have you heard somebody complain that a representative opposes taking some money from the federal government, even though the purpose for it is unconstitutional? See, we do this. We sat by while a criminal gang took over the federal government, and we did nothing. Our predecessors, our ancestors, they did little, if anything, and we're suffering the consequences. But it also means that since we made this mess, we're the ones that can fix it. We're the ones that can remove power from the federal government. But it doesn't start in Washington, D.C. It starts locally, which is why I wanted to close out today with a couple of examples of, we'll just call it local malfeasance, that maybe we should consider as we approach another election. We're going to start in New York City, the city of my birth. Oh my God. Does anybody remember the incident where on the subway, right? There was a deranged person, a homeless man, not all there, who was threatening people on the subway. And someone stood up against him and actually ended up killing him. And of course, this became quite the political kerfuffle. And many members of the New York City Council, well, they demanded justice for the man that was killed while he was threatening subway passengers. Showed much more concern for the poor homeless man who was the threat than they did for the other subway passengers he was threatening, or the individual that finally put a stop to it. Now, I bring that up because one of those city council members, and Amanda Ferris, she, by the way, represents the 18th district, recently had a post on X where she stated she was deeply disturbed and concerned about widespread reports of attacks against women in New York City that have been confirmed by the NYPD. And then she asked the question, where are the men calling this out? Well, after you wanted someone prosecuted if you wanted a man prosecuted for dealing with the problem of attacks on citizens, where do you think they are? I mean, this is the example of you know, every your dog comes up to get a pet and you slap him in the face and then you wonder why they don't come near you anymore. Ms. Ferris, make up your mind. Or are you just sticking your political finger in the wind and seeing which way will get you a couple of more votes? But to me, Ms. Ferris is actually an example of a much broader and more disturbing trend. The destruction of masculinity. See, when I grew up, it was my understanding that as a man, it was my primary responsibility to protect my family, but I also had a responsibility to protect others in my area that were weaker than I am, generally women and children. It was expected of me as a man to do that. If I saw someone beating a kid, I had a responsibility to jump in to prevent harm. If I saw a woman being attacked, relative or not, I had a responsibility to get involved. And that's exactly what we've destroyed in this country. Men are not allowed to be men. We're being told we need to be like women. So now, when she sees reports of women being attacked and she wonders, where are the men? These are the men that you've emasculated, metaphorically, over the decades. Most likely over the decades. Certainly the man that you emasculated for standing up to a dangerous homeless person in a subway. See, that's part of the problem is we think that by telling people to be nice, everybody's going to be nice. There are wolves out there, ladies and gentlemen. There are people who want to hurt us. I was having this discussion with there's a location that I don't frequent anymore because they recently put up a no gun sign. And the reason I told them that I would not frequent them is because, well, you don't care about my safety. And they said, well, sure we do. Why do you think we put up that sign? See, the sign makes you feel safe, but it doesn't actually make you safe. It's the same thing here. Having men that seem to be quiet and calm and are unprepared to stand up against the wolves may make you feel safe, but it doesn't make you safe. So we've got wolves on one side, we've got sheep on the other, and all the sheep have been doing is complaining that the sheep dog looks too much like a wolf. There's a reason a sheepdog looks like a wolf, because they're there to protect you from the wolf. For men, for anyone to be able to protect you from harm, they must be dangerous. People always complain, we can't have guns because they're dangerous. Exactly. If they weren't dangerous, they would not be effective in protecting you. You want to deny me my right to protect myself, you also deny me the opportunity to protect you. We've turned American men into children. And then we wonder why they're not there to protect us. And that's simply one example. There are others I don't have time to get into. But here's another thing I want you to consider. Now, the difference between being told what people are doing and observing what they're actually doing. Or as Jesus put it, you shall know them by their fruit. So let's go to Keego Harbor, Michigan. And apparently in this community, there is a school building over 100 years old. It's one of the oldest buildings, one of the longest continuously operating school buildings in the state, I believe. It's at least in the county. It looks like a beautiful old building. It reminds me of the elementary school I went to in New York City. But you see, there was a problem. See, apparently, there was some damage to the roof. The ceiling leaked. They had moved students out because of this, and they decided they didn't really need the building anymore. Okay, what do you do with a beautiful historic old building? More often than not, I see people trying to save these buildings, even when it makes no sense. But no. The Board of Education approved demolishing this building. You say, what does that have to do with the... Well, here's the interesting thing. See, this building has been appraised at roughly $1.2 million. But you see, the school board has been offered multiple offers to purchase the building. One as high as $1.7 million. By a group that wants to buy the building to turn it into an apartment complex. Now, those who support the demolition say, well, you see, there are structural problems. There was a partial ceiling collapse in one of the unused classrooms. Because of this, we can't sell it. I mean, it'd be one thing to say, we're not going to get the $1.2 million. Would we save money by just demolishing it? No, they have an offer on the table. And as I understand it, they have multiple offers. And this $1.7 million would basically, I think it would wipe out the school boards. There's a deficit. I don't remember if it's the county or it's the school board. The school district has a deficit. This would wipe it out. But then why are they still pushing to demolish this beautiful old building that somebody wants to buy? Why destroy it rather than letting somebody deal with it? And again, the developers offered the money. They've obviously looked at the school building. They would understand the cost and risk they would be taking on. So it's not like they're scamming anybody. Why? Well, according to one of the activists trying to save the building, they said, well, there were concerns about charter schools. Well, they said that was debunked, that no one offered to purchase the building, but that was debunked. They have developers that want to do this. Why? Now, the question about charter schools brings up an interesting question. Does a school board want it demolished because there's a possibility it could be turned into a charter, or even worse, a private school? Is that really the problem? They don't want the competition? Because if you have a building worth $1.2 million that you can't use, you don't want to put the money in to fix it up, you want to get rid of it, someone offers you $1.7, do you just choose to destroy it rather than sell it? I mean, if you had an old car, right? You had this old car and you said, gee, you know, it's not, it's worth about $1,000. Let's make it $1,200. It's worth $1,200. That's what the Kelley Blue Book and all tells you, $1,200. But, you know, it has some work. I need some work. I got to do, you know, I don't want to put the money in it. I'm going to send to the crusher. Someone comes along and says, I'll offer you $1,700 for that car. You go, no, I want to crush it. I don't know the answer here. Is it a possibility that it's a question of charter schools? Is there something else going on? I don't know. What I do know is you have a community with a nice looking but needs some work old building that apparently the Board of Education would rather destroy than sell to somebody to use for something else. Now, whether it's simple incompetence or an act of malice, it certainly is fiscal mismanagement. And if we can't deal with fiscal issues at the school board level, if we can't hire people that will act fiscally sound at the school board level, how can we expect people at the state or the federal level to act with any sense of fiscal responsibility? We can't, which is why we're over $34 trillion in debt as a nation. So I would suggest, if the people of Keagle Harbor, Michigan, want to remove some of the power from the federal crime organization, they can start with getting a better hold on their school board. But Paul, this school board's not going to fix Washington, D.C., not today. Any more than my work here at the county or your work in your town and local officials will fix D.C. today. So we can't fix D.C. today. It's too far away. It's too big. The only way we fix D.C. is by draining its power. The only way we can drain its power is to remove power from it, which means we need states to recognize that unconstitutional laws are void, therefore we don't have to follow them. That when the government offers money it's not legally authorized to, you're accepting a bribe, as Alexis de Tocqueville warned us. This republic will exist until the Congress figures out it can bribe the public with the public's money. We're not going to get people at the state level. They're going to stop accepting the bribe until we get people at the county and local level that will stop accepting the bribe. And they will not stop accepting the bribe until we start holding them accountable for doing so. You see, this organized crime syndicate doesn't start at the top. Doesn't start with a godfather, doesn't start with a Gotti. It starts at your street corner with a thug, the bookmaker, the protection racketeer. That's where organized crime starts. And if we're going to fix this, we start by depriving it of its primary resource, money and influence. Now, that doesn't mean we don't go after the criminal activity at the top. We still do. We still need to charge these people. It's one of the reasons why, you know, I keep seeing people filing lawsuits. I was talking to somebody the other day who wants to file a lawsuit. under 42 U.S.C. 1983. So that's great. What about the criminal codes? 18 U.S.C. 242. See, if you sue the federal government, you pay. Win or lose, you pay. But if the person who's actually committing the crime stands judgment, stands trial, they may not be convicted. But you send a message. You send a message that this type of crime will not be ignored. Then you start bringing in people that will actually understand and will stand up against the local thug and the protection racket. How many good movies are based on the townsfolk coming together to defend themselves against a thug or someone with a protection racket? They're everywhere. How many Westerns are based on that theory? What would happen if in 21st century America, we started hiring people on our school board that stopped participating in bribery, that stopped feeding the criminal organization that we're all complaining about? You don't starve a tree at the leaves. You starve the tree at the roots. Yes, the leaves get sunlight and convert the sunshine into energy, right? Into oxygen, and it travels through the sap. But if you want to destroy a tree, you don't cut it down from the top. You have to deal with the roots. Take those roots in your neighborhood, and let's start seeing if we can't starve some of this organized crime at its roots. Now, before we go today, I want to remind you to head to constitutionstudies/questions and ask a question. I love answering questions, and I want to do a Q&A segment, but I need more questions. So again, constitutionstudy.com/question. Put in just your name or email and what the question is. And if you check the box that says, please answer on the radio, I will do my best to do that. Also, if you want to listen to the show, come back, join us here for the Constitution Study every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. You can also listen on podcast through your favorite podcast app. All the episodes go to podcast a day or two after they're heard on the radio. But do me a favor, subscribe to the show. Leave us ratings and reviews. It helps other people find the Constitution Study as well. Find all the links you need at the homepage at AmericaOutloud.news. But please share them. Share this information. Help us all to share the blessings of liberty.